Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
We packaged up cultures from around the world, and now we're delivering them to homes across the country. I'm here for a reason. I'm a true believer, and you are who you surround yourself with. We were going to sell the business, but we ended up selling the equipment because gyms were closed, people needed the equipment, we wanted to move to Florida. It made sense for me to sell the equipment. I would never call it an extreme failure. I think I could have done so many things differently. Seeing him break out of his shell and being like, I love other people, like, where are we going to next? I bought every one of my competitors' boxes.
How did you recognize that the feedback wasn't bad? The feedback was to help you become better.
What are the activities the kids are doing? Are they outside playing? Are they inside playing with blocks? Like, what is the culture aspect? I still have a lot to learn. There's no way that I've tapped into every culture out there, no matter how much research I've done.
What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Oh, I love this question. Failure is knowledge means to me that every time you believe you fail, you're actually learning a next step to building you success.
Okay, and I have a lot of notes. So it's gonna be a great conversation.
Awesome.
Hold on, let me make sure my camera's good. Hold on. Okay. You good?
I'm ready.
Hey, Whitney, thank you again for joining Failure's Knowledge Podcast. Before we get into who you are, the success that you have, why Global Sprouts Box?
There you go. As a Chamorro and Dutch mom, I moved to the mainland, to the States, in 2013 and had my daughter in 2023. I wanted her to experience other cultures around the world. And the more that I researched the options that are out there, more focused on geography and less focused on culture. So we packaged up cultures from around the world, and now we're delivering them to homes across the country.
I have to say, your box is very detailed, and I can tell by looking at it for the first time, because it's my first time looking at it, that you've been testing so many different things, so many different ways. Why is it important to test to see what's working for your customers, what's not working for your customers?
So testing for your customers and finding the right product placement is important for any business, but specifically for ours, because we are targeting ages 2 through 6 for our first launch. So we wanted to make sure that since two-year-olds are still very hands-on and they're learning new skills and limitations, we wanted to make sure that two-year-olds could also participate in the box just as easily as six-year-olds can.
And it's very, what is the word? Meticulous. Very meticulous. And I read while I was doing research on you that you were in a car accident. Is that right?
I was in 2016.
In 2016. Okay, in 2016. How were you able to not only go through that pain, go through that traumatic experience, but how did you overcome that lesson?
So a little backstory on the car accident is I was on my way to Oklahoma from North Carolina, and I hit 50 feet of guardrail, hit an overpass, and flipped my car. It was around 6 in the morning. Receipts showed that I had stopped at McDonald's, got a coffee, stopped and got gas, and then I don't have any recollection until the night before and then 7 days later. So the first hospital I went to try to send me home with the male police officer to a hotel until my parents could get there. And I guess I'd looked at him and said, my friend was intubated incorrectly a few years ago. I need a second opinion. I was transferred to University of Alabama, Birmingham, and I will never forget my parents telling me the story of they got the phone call and they were like, she's dying from internal bleeding if we don't operate on her now. This is very traumatic. Very, very traumatic. I had a brain, I had a TBI, and I suffered from the aftermath for quite a while, for probably at least 6 months after. And what I honestly did was I took that instance and I funneled it into my first business, which was a brick and mortar infrared heated spin yoga and bar studio. And I loved those workouts because it helped heal my body tremendously. And I like funneled that energy of I'm here for a reason. Something in between the two hospitals, I guess I came to consciousness and I was like, I need a second opinion. So something the universe was telling me that I should be here and I need to take all of the lessons I learned from being in a hospital bed for weeks in a coma and just channel that into providing something fun for all of us here.
Wow, that's incredible. One thing, I apologize. My phone just fell out the blue. I apologize. That was a large, a loud slam. But when I went through my divorce in 2023, I didn't recognize that everyone has different pain and different experiences that they go through because I thought I was alone. I thought I was all by myself. I was going through a breakup. And then when I went around and got around like-minded, well, not necessarily like-minded people, but people who was trying to work out and trying to better themselves, I had a conversation with somebody that not only was going through a breakup, but they can experience what I was going through. And it taught me that I'm not alone. I just felt alone. And it wasn't until I got around the right people to help me understand that I'm not alone. When you went through this process, when you went through the healing phase and you started your own company, your yoga company at the age of, what you said, 18, 19?
I was 19.
18. Did you know it's going to heal you in the way that it? That it not it was it did you notice it was going to heal you the way it healed you?
In the beginning, no. I thought that this was going to be an amazing experience. I was going to learn so much, but I didn't realize that it was going to heal me being surrounded by like-minded individuals and building a team and building support. I was in a brand new area. I didn't have many friends. I went out on a whim and was like, this is going to be the next best thing. And then, literally, probably going into construction, like the construction phase, I was like, I think this is going to heal me in ways that I never expected by giving me something to channel all of my energy into and love it to death and build it and prosper. And then once we got to the hiring phase, another gush of, oh my gosh, this is changing my world. And then once we open and being part of a community, I strive in communities. I'm very involved in my community in Tampa. I'm very involved in communities in Atlanta, Georgia, and up in Newport News, Virginia. So the way that I love to do my day-to-day task is to connect people in the community. And really, 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 I found that out when I had the studio because my community loved me. I loved my community. I was always there for them no matter what situation. And that really filled up my cup of tea. And I was like, this is changing my entire world.
You heal faster when you're around others that want the best for you. They not only want the best for you, they are encouraging because every idea is bouncing off of each other. You're not just by yourself. You don't have to think for yourself. You don't have to strategize for yourself. You can hear other people and how they overcame their pain, how the yoga is helping them, and how you are positioning yourself to not only be the forefront of it, but to position yourself as to be a community leader. And I admire that about you because you're so active, you're so involved with everything that you're doing. Did you learn that when you was 18, or how did you learn how to be involved with your community more?
Oh, I've always been involved with my community. I love being around people. I thrive talking to people and I love hearing everyone's story and telling them my story if they want to hear it. I think it's ironic. The other day I was sitting down and I was talking to my husband and I was like, huh. So I remember when I was like 7 years old, I would drive by parcels, like commercial parcels that were for rent and for sale. I'd look at my mom and I'd be like, you should rent that and I'm going to own a business one day. Like 6 or 7. And I remember when I got to like 13, there was a snow cone machine for sale. I was like, buy that. I'm going to run it. Obviously, my mom was like, no, you're crazy. You're crazy. But then I was thinking about all these little things that told me I was an entrepreneur from such a young age that I never realized, literally, probably until 2 weeks ago, that I was like, I remember these conversations. I remember one time I took $800 from my parents' change jar and I cashed all the change in and I went and bought a horse and I was gonna own this horse training facility, or not facility, but train a horse and then let people ride it. And I got pretty far down that road. They were very, very, very upset with me. I ended up having to sell the horse to get the money back. But I was going. I was full speed ahead. And I wanted to bring my community to ride horses. I love to ride horses. And then what really hit home was owning a business. And that's when I realized the business of Barbara the Bay Newport News. I would walk into the grocery store and I could say hi to 10 different people. And then when I realized I loved that, well, I realized I loved that when we moved to Florida and I no longer knew anyone. I knew maybe 5 people when we moved down here, and I missed that. So what did I do? I started putting myself into the community and building those bridges. And then last year I launched Global Sprouts and I've really tapped into the mom network. I still struggle with finding good mom friends in our area, but that'll come, and I don't push anything. I let my community. I really focus on having strong connections with people that are like-minded and like similar things, because I'm a true believer and you are who you surround yourself with. So when it comes to community building, I kind of allow those opportunities to flow to me versus me going out and seeking them. Yes, I'll do networking events and go to fun events and parties to meet people that way. But a lot of times I like to just let people flow to me so that we have the best fit culturally and like-mindedness.
My wife said the same thing. She was like, she's gonna let people come to her. I'm like, I'm going to get people. I'm going to search and reach out to others. And I get it. There's a way to attract the people that you're looking for. And I really admire how you put yourself out there. You just said something that was really incredible, but you bypassed it. You said you just discovered this 2 weeks ago. Did I
Yeah.
hear that correctly?
Yeah.
How did you discover it 2 weeks ago? How did you discover like the passion that you have has always been in you? Now you're just realizing why it's been in you.
You know, that's a great question. I was laying in bed one night and I was just thinking of okay, I know exactly what started it was. It was like the Saturday night I was with my girlfriend telling her about my childhood growing up on Guam. And we had talked about it. I like went through all the goods, the bads, the uglies, the greats. And by the way, I love living on Guam. Guam is like my happy place. It is definitely my home. But obviously, with every childhood, there's ups and downs and tribulations. So we were talking about that. And then a few days later, I was laying in bed and I was just reminiscing on more of my childhood and trying to figure out, like, my little sister's 14 and lives with us. And she's lives with us full time now, but she had been spending every summer with us for the past 5 years. Every summer, this girl comes to live with us and makes an extra $2,000 by selling something. Mind blowing. The first summer, I think she was 14 now, so she would have been 9 and was dog walking in our apartment building, made $2,000 dog walking at 9. And every year, she just made more money and more money. I think last year, she made like $5,000 selling clay beaded bracelets on the beach. And so I think these two kind of come together. And she moved in with us, which obviously is a big change. And her grades were better than so she moved with us because our schools are better. And her grades were better than they were, but still, like, she doesn't enjoy doing homework and doesn't enjoy this and that and doesn't want to go to school, which I get. 14 is a tough age. And then I sat down and I was like, Whitney, I don't think that the school and education part, yes, it's needed for entrepreneurs for sure, specifically in high school. But I think that in her is an entrepreneur. She's done something every summer. She's made something. We made an entire tech product, brought it to market last year when she was 13. So I did have to help her with a lot of the technical things, but that's how you teach an entrepreneur from a young age of how to flex those skills and the skills that they need. And now she will know how to make a UPC barcode for the rest of her life because we figured that out together. And she learned that at 13 versus I needed it for Global Sprout. So it's kind of nice that I learned it with her last year. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking about my childhood. I was like, okay, Whitney, I do care about her school, but I'm not as hard on her as I would be for someone that's like a genius, right? Of like, I love school. I want to do this. And I can tell she's more of the creative, hands-on making things. I was like, wait, I was just like that. I just wasn't I didn't want to make a product. I wanted to have brick and mortars. Every time I saw something for rent, I was like, I'm going to make money when I'm older. And so I think laying in bed that night, I was just reminiscing. And I was like, this makes sense because I've had one full-time job since I've been in, I've had two. Every time I love learning from others. I don't love taking direction from others, which is a fault and a perk sometimes. After my first job, I quit that first full-time job, opened up the studio. I closed the studio down during COVID, made 400 times profit on every single fitness equipment. We were going to sell the business, but we ended up selling the equipment because gyms were closed. People needed the equipment. We wanted to move to Florida. So it made sense for me to sell the equipment, made money off of it, came down to Florida, and then got my next full-time job. Didn't like my boss. I liked my first boss, and then I made a career transition. My second boss wasn't great. So I realized that I can build my own team. And if I can build my own team, then why should I have to listen to someone else that doesn't treat me like a great human that I am? Long way to say that I think just thinking about all those instances and putting them together and having two experience plus 17,000 hobbies in between to figure out what business was going to take off. I think that was just my epiphany in that moment that I laid in bed and I was like, I finally had time to digest. I mean, we lost our home to Hurricane Helene. So that fueled me to start Global Sprouts really was Thanksgiving last year, all of that. But anyways, sitting down in bed and just giving myself the time and space to think about how I got to where I am and how Global Sprouts has been successful so far in the first month that we launched. So I think that was pretty impactful.
Wow, that was definitely impactful. First, I do want to say glad you all are okay due to Hurricane Luna. We was in Hurricane Milton and Hurricane Helene, but we evacuated for the last, I think Helene was the last one. The first one. Mm-hmm. Milton was the second one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dang. Okay. Okay. Glad you all are okay. For Milton, we ended up going to Atlanta. But for Helene, we ended up staying here. But it was hectic. It was hectic. I mean, I was watching the news and how the water just was rising. I'm like, that's crazy. Then I'm watching on different videos, different social media posts on how one guy was in a kayak or something like that?
Yeah.
In his house. And the water level was like, he couldn't even stand in. I said, yeah, that's crazy. So glad you all are okay. It's one thing to go through it, but it's another to come out of it with Global Sprouts. There's so many different lessons that you go through, so many different experiences that's helping you identify the person that you are today. And it's all because of your past experiences. And when you started Global Sprout, you say that you, the first month, you were already successful. Was it because of your past or previous failures, or was it more so of the lessons that you learned to help you prepare for what you are growing into?
Oh, I think a little bit of both. I think your failures give you experiences, and then you kind of utilize both. So, for example, the fitness studio. I would never call it an extreme failure. I think I could have done so many things differently, from operations to hiring help sooner to being way more profitable so that we could have sold the business instead of selling the equipment for a much larger profit. I So to me, it was a success because I learned that all of my processes need to be in place in order to scale and build a team, and I need to scale fast. I'm a fast mover. I had this idea for Global Sprouts on November, on I think it was November 24th, whatever Thanksgiving was last year, at night, at 9 p.m. at night. I had done 7 hours of research, stayed up until 3 a.m. I originally, like the month before, had an idea. Let me scale back. So with Global Sprouts, I had an idea pre-understanding Global Sprouts that I was going to make a bilingual box because my daughter is bilingual. We've done very well teaching her Spanish. And I like had some pushback. No one really believed in that idea. And I'm not really one to go off of what other people close to me believe. I do my own thing anyways. And then Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving night at 9 p.m. And I was like, you know what? My best friends are moving to Spain after the hurricane. I'm from Guam and I'm half Dutch. How do I give this to my kid? And that's how Global Sprouts was born. 9 p.m. that night, stayed up until I think 2 or 3 in the morning, did all my research. And I knew that it was going to be a success from that exact moment, that I'm bringing something to the market that is focused on culture, not geography. And that's going to be impactful. And so that is, I forgot where I was. What was the question?
How did you know that your past lessons wasn't failure, was helping you prepare for today?
So making Global Sprouts and doing that so fast is I needed to move fast in everything that I do to bring a product to the market, because if I'm not working fast, Brittany down the street might be already working on it too. So I needed to bring it to the market, and I brought it to the market in 4 months. And that meant creating supply, like relationship with suppliers and manufacturers, over 65 of them, because we have 11 different boxes. And it is not easy to source cultural items because they're all different. So it's not like I can have one manufacturer make maracas for Mexico and someone else make the silk scarves for Spain for the flamenco dance. So I built all those relationships. I negotiated. I got graphic designers. I built my internal team. And that was my first lesson I learned from the studio, was you have to move fast. If I would have opened up 6 studios in the Newport News, Virginia Beach, like Hampton Roads area, it would have been successful. But I limited myself in not believing in what I had, and what I had not been brought to the market at all across the country. And then I was like, oh, the name is too bar instead of like encompassing everything that we were doing. So I learned a lot about those failures of making a broader name. So Global Sprouts, when you think of it, it can be educational boxes. You're sprouting with knowledge. I made it a more variety of a name versus Bar by the Bay. It's Bare. Just seems bar, but really we were indoor cycling, yoga, bar, and we were heated. So that led me to learning that, okay, this didn't work, but how can I do this better in the future the next time I bring a product to the market? And really just like honing in on all of those little things. And at first, I did think that Bar by the Bay was a failed business, it wasn't going anywhere. But truly, I turned that into a successful business by understanding the ins and outs of business. I didn't even have a, I don't think I had a business tax receipt when I had the studio, but maybe I did, until I went to get an intern for Global Sprouts. And I was like, where's your business tax receipt? And I was like, I don't even know what that is. So I'm still learning new things, and that makes me happy. And learning is so important to me. So I do really think of everything that maybe the normal person might think as a failure, but it's really just the next step to becoming successful in whatever you do afterwards.
I appreciate how you, when you brought your sister in, you see her entrepreneurship spirit, and she's able to make money. She's able to get out there, put herself out there to the market, and really bring value to customers and really make something out of nothing. She's not only learning from you, but your daughter is learning from your sister and you and your husband as well. So not only is the whole house eventually will become entrepreneurs, but it's more so that you're building that inner team dynamic And you're able to build a team dynamic on everything that you're doing because based off your previous experience when you were a child. The goal with Sprouts, what it sounds like to me, I could be wrong, is that you're bringing your inner child out, not only just for the global or just to educate about different countries, but you're bringing your inner child out because you have community, you have inquisitiveness, and you're really bringing it together to where everyone can learn and become different and grow together. Was that intentional?
Yeah, it was intentional. I want the Global Sprouts community to, one day, this is a crazy idea, but I want everyone that loves Global Sprouts to go on like a cruise to like four or five different places, to even build that community farther and do like a Global Sprouts cruise, because these are the families that really cherish and appreciate other cultures and how do we bring them together. And I think that means that they want community as well. They want to accept the Spanish person that comes into their house. They want to accept the Dutch person that comes into their house. And that is, it's up to us to raise the next generation to be empathetic and curious. And that's exactly what teaching them about other cultures at such a young age, and that's why our box starts at 2 versus others start at 3, is the more touch points that they hear and that they understand about other cultures, the more cultural they'll be and the more understanding and the more that they will know. So really, that was the whole part of the box, is to understand other cultures and understand other communities and welcome them into ours, because it's up to us. If you're in a room filled with 30 to 50-year-olds, that's probably the most uncultured room you would be in. And you look around and you're like, okay, like we have some work to do. Like it's up to us to have our kids and raise them to accept those communities and be a part of a bit larger community and not just siloed and in their own clique. I struggled with that as an adult of when I tried to find my community, everyone had their own cliques. And that was very tough for me. I'm not like that. I can see a random person walk into the room, and my sister is like that as well. Talk to anyone, welcome them in, ask how their weekend was, because that is tough. It's tough to put yourself out there. And can you imagine if there's a language barrier too, or like an understanding barrier? So I'm not saying we should have like every language down and in our book, but we should have somewhat of an understanding. I've been to 46 countries at this point in my life, and it's so important to me. I still struggle with deciphering what language is what language, but I'm pretty good because I've put myself into those cultures and I've been around them speaking the language. So I definitely know Spanish and I can tell the difference between if they're Mexican or from Spain. I can identify Portuguese. What really helped though is Chamorro is, it's its own language, but it does sound a little bit like Tagalog mixed with Spanish, mixed with Indonesian. So I can kind of really pinpoint those languages out just because of the native language of Guam. But really, the booklets in our boxes come with videos on how the languages are spoken, words in the language that the kids can trace so that they're kind of understanding. So for example, hello in Chamorro is Hafa a day. In Spanish, it's hola.
Bless you. Bless you, bless you.
So just having somewhat of an identifying trait for the kids growing up, I think is important. And that's what makes our community awesome.
Wow. Okay. Just to let you know, I know it's for 2 to 6-year-olds. We don't have any kids just yet, but I'm going to order me a box as well because I haven't been out the country. I'm from a small town, Little Rock, Arkansas. Ooh. And I'm learning Spanish right now on Duolingo. And it's really beneficial because I'm able to understand the language and how to communicate and how to ask for things, not necessarily ask for things, but how to communicate in a different language. So I'm going to purchase your box as well because I see the importance behind it. You've been in 46 different countries and you're able to hear what is called the slang of how people are communicating. You can determine what language is what and that's incredible. When I was in the Marine Corps,
I can tell the difference between a Mexican and Dominican because one, the Dominican will correct you if they're not Mexican. The Mexican correct you if they're not Dominican. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know the difference.
Life experiences that make you a great person. You're like, okay, you're correcting me, and I appreciate that instead of being like, why are you correcting me? And so I think it all comes down to the understanding and wanting to learn about others. Great example, my husband had not really traveled outside of the typical Caribbean islands in Mexico when we met. And we've now been to four or five other places together, and he's way more open, which is ironic. I never thought I would marry someone that is like not as culturized as I am, I guess I would say. But seeing him break out of his shell and being like, I love other people. Like, where are we going to next? We're actually going to Cyprus and Turkey at the end of this year. And you'll get mixed reviews on, I wouldn't go to the Middle East. I wouldn't go to the Middle East. I'm the type of person that wants to go to the bad places. I know that sounds crazy, but I would love to go to North Korea and China and just experience the cultures. And that's something that what sparked that curiosity was I was in a coffee shop and this guy in front of me has a Mexico passport. He's talking to his old professor from USF and he goes, I only have four countries left before I've gone to every country twice. I'm like, what? How did you do that? And he was like, well, I have a Mexican passport, so they're not as strict on me. I was like, well, of course, I'm never going to go to all these places with an American passport. But he was like, yeah, I only have like St. Croix, St. Kitts, like all of the tiny islands in the Caribbean left. I was like, that is so cool. I'm going to do that one day. And so that has now been my goal since really launching Global Sprouts. I was like, I would love to eventually expand into other countries. We do a pretty good job right now of doing half really well-known countries and half of the smaller places that you might not be able to explore. So really partnering and doing that together, I think is fun.
You just made me also think about, so my wife, she's Jamaican, and so she's been traveling to different places. And I was in class one day, and they said something about third world countries. I'm like, I don't know what that is. What is that? My classmate was sitting right beside me. He was Haitian, and he said something about third world country on how the resources was very limited. I didn't understand. Like, I'm not understanding. Then he explained it, how the resources are completely different from third world countries from the United States and how it's different. And it made me think about how different everyone are, yet we're so similar so many different ways. And your community is bringing so many people together that are different, but they can relate in so many different ways. How did you say you earlier you mentioned that you needed to scale fast. How are you going to plan to scale fast for today if you just started 4 months ago or a couple months ago?
So we are in planning mode. So before we launched a pre-sale March 24th. And our plan was to start shipping out boxes April 24th. We actually beat that by a couple weeks, which I was very proud of. And we started shipping out boxes like first, second week of April. So when before we had even launched, we had planned out all 11 countries, made those suppliers, where we're sourcing from the boxes, got the majority of our boxes purchased, and now we're on to the next box. So yes, the consumers are just getting the first box, and we'll tweak those as we go, as we get feedback and understanding that. But we have this solid foundation for Global Sprouts created. And in the process of people signing up for Global Sprouts, we ask them, do they want educational boxes or immersive boxes? Immersive as being them being hands-on. So our boxes come with toys, books, recipes, the educational booklet, and what's the other one? And crafts. Very hands-on, not much educational. There's like a drawing in the booklet, a coloring page sometimes. But not more on like when you're 2 through 6, you're learning your A's, your B's, your C's, your alphabet, your phonics, and how to speak correctly. So That's more the educational piece. So when we launched Global Sprouts, we asked every parent before they purchase a subscription, do you want educational or immersive? And so now our next step would be to make an educational box. So now we're at, well, in between, we're making educational add-on booklets so that the parents can purchase a booklet that says, hey, let's trace A through Z. And then it'll look like Guam, like for the designs, or let's trace these fishes. Let's do this. Let's do that on an educational perspective. And that'll be an add-on. So we're working on those now. And then our next thing would be to launch educational boxes. So what are fun activities, crafts, and games that kids can do 2 through 6 that prepare and teach them for pre-K and kindergarten and first grade moving forward? So we've done a lot of the research on the front end to understand what our customer and clientele want. We have to still learn our churn rate and our lifetime value for our subscription boxes. So we're in the testing phase of that, and we'll figure it out.
Okay. So when I started podcasting a half a decade ago, I started podcasting because, of course, I wanted to get out and connect with others, start building relationships. And I had a goal just to make a difference. Make a difference in the world and just make a whole bunch of podcast episodes. As I continue to produce podcast episodes, I produce over 893 podcast episodes. I didn't know the business behind it. I didn't understand that you just can't communicate. Yes, communication and being in a relationship is critical, it's important, it's great. But if you're just building relationships with no business model behind the relationship that you're building, you're just doing a hobby, you're doing your passion. And you just explained that you really have to test. There's a book called by Tillman Fertilia. I think I said his last name wrong, but it says shut up and listen. And his motto is to change. Everything that you do, you have to change. You can't remain the same. Well, how you did business 20 years ago, you won't be doing business 20 years later because you have to change. And when you just explained that you have to test ahead of time, you have to get feedback from your customers. I'm literally in the process of researching about the podcast industry, not only how to launch a podcast, but how to edit your podcast. Which one is more different? Which one is better? Which one provide a long-term service, not only just a one and done, but how can I continue to work with the customers? You literally say that you was researching. You researched for 7 hours and you ended up going to sleep around like 3 o'clock in the morning. That research that you did, did it prepare you to understand the future products to create, or was it the feedback that you received is helping you create the products?
It is more the feedback. So the original research I did was what products are out there that are doing cultural based. I bought every one of my competitors' boxes. Nothing talked about the people. For example, if you're doing a France box, it would say you're going to go to Paris, you'll see an Eiffel Tower. Okay, cool. But I want to know, what do the Parisians do? Like, what do the French do? What are the activities the kids are doing? Are they outside playing? Are they inside playing with blocks? Like, what is the culture aspect? So that's the first research I did. I know from my experience, I've been in digital marketing for 10 years pre-Global Sprouts, that nothing ever, what works one day is not going to work the next day, and you have to test. And Anne Malum owns Solid Core, and I look up to her in numerous ways. She actually, I didn't really understand that I had to move fast. I did kind of know I had to move fast with the studio, and I didn't take that advice. And then I listened to one of Anne Malum's podcasts, and she was like, you just have to move fast. I was like, wait, I did that this time. Yes, I move fast. But I never would have probably sat down with myself and was like, wow, Whitney, you moved really fast to launch, until I started hearing people say, you're moving fast, you're doing a great job, you brought something to the market very quickly. And then I have to figure out what book I read. It might be the Mindset Mentor podcast, or 12 and a half by Gary. I cannot pronounce his last name, but they both are like, you have to test and you have to change and you have to pivot what your clientele likes. Same with the studio. I will say that we pivoted all the time with the studio. If clients kept saying the 5:15 class is too late by the 15 minutes, I can't get to work on time because I have to go home and shower. Well, then we pivoted and we made it 5 a.m. And then And then it would mess up the schedule for the rest of people. So then you'd have to figure out the other class times, and that worked for everyone and the instructors. But really sitting down and testing and understanding what your clients are saying. And if they're giving you feedback that your customer service isn't well, or that toys are breaking easily, or none of these have happened, but these are things that I've already prepared for. The booklets are ripping, things like that. Then we already have a process in place of, okay, if toys are breaking, we have a great standard operating procedure guide so that our customer service reps know to who to reach out to, which supplier to tell them the issue, to get a new batch of items in the next couple of boxes. So we've really prepared for that so that we can pivot fast and quickly. And our SOP guide, I made it personally myself with all of my business knowledge so that our team is prepared to make changes and to pivot very quickly. And that's been a lifesaver. Every facet and every person in our team knows to go to that when we're making a change.
You just made me think about when I was in the Marine Corps and I was teaching how to drive the military vehicles. He's called a staff NCO. The person that was over us, a staff sergeant, he, every time I had a question, like, how do you change the tire? Or how do you change the belt? How do you park the car? Like the basic information, he always say, did you look at the manual? Have you looked at the manual? How you searched, how you sat down and looked it up? I'm like, no, like you're right here. Why can't you just tell me the information? At the time, I didn't understand what he was doing, but he was teaching me the process. And when you understand the process, you're understanding how to prepare and plan accordingly in case things happen. And I respect the fact that you test everything that you're doing, because one thing might be right a particular moment, but then when you're getting feedback, you're able to change and adjust accordingly. How did you recognize that the feedback wasn't bad or wasn't criticism? The feedback was to help you become better.
Well, that's a great question. I think so many people think that feedback is criticism and that people are tearing them down. And that is something I struggled with very heavily up until I was 26, to be honest, or 25, maybe. I took everything to heart. I did a lot of self-work and understanding that this is kind of a little bit of outside feedback, but just as an entrepreneur, of there's people that are going to believe in you wholeheartedly, and there's people that aren't. That's just the world. There's going to be people that look at you and like, I want her to fail because they have something inside of them that they want to unleash or find out, and they're projecting it onto others. So I love the criticism, whether it's about me personally, my business, my product. I take all of that and I don't take it to heart anymore. I just leave it in the back of my mind and I'm like, okay, someone told me that the way that I reply sometimes doesn't come across as the nicest, even if I'm trying to be nice about it. Got it. Thank you for the feedback. I'll work on that with my therapist, or I'll do some self-work if I truly think that happens 3 out of 3 times, then, or 3 people give me the feedback, then I'm like, okay, I really need to work on this. But if it's just one person that I met that I didn't get good vibes from, I'm like, okay, we're just gonna like put that over here. Like, maybe I'll address it, maybe not. When it comes to feedback for the box, if it's a customer at any point in their life cycle that gives me feedback, I do take that and we consolidate them all together in a list. And we're like, okay, customer X has come. We've had one feedback or one thing of feedback so far, and that was our paint lids are very hard to take off. So we sat down and we had a mastermind, and ultimately we decided that the paint is fine. It is annoying that they're very challenging to open. But for that 2 through 6 age, you don't want your kids to have access to the paint. There's no way a 2-year-old can open it. I don't even think a 3, 4, maybe a 6-year-old would be able to open it. They're just like the little acrylic paint things. And I was like, well, in shipping, you don't want them to open up and go all over the crafts. You don't want your kid to open it up in case it gets into their hands. So we ultimately decided to keep them because the pros of them being hard to open outweighed the cons by far. So We definitely, and we still keep it on our spreadsheet. We're like, this was our first piece of feedback. And that way, if in 4 months from now, we've had 12 people say the paint's so difficult, then we would say, okay, let's think of another solution for this. So we do kind of consolidate all that feedback, and I don't take it to heart. I want to make the best product. And how do I do that? It's understanding and listening and being open to feedback.
Okay. So you just mentioned that you learned that when you was 25, 26. I'm 26 right now, and I'm learning that all feedback, all criticism isn't bad. It's just to help me get better, depending on how I use it. You just use the key word that's so important. And I don't know if you picked up that you do this often, but you say it and then you just bypass it. You said mastermind. And then earlier you mentioned that you visited 46 different countries. Just like you have to learn the language of the different countries that you're going into, in business, you have to learn the language as well. Lifetime customers, customer, what is it called? CAC, customer acquisition
Acquisition
cost.
costs. Yep.
Yes. And just like you have to study that language, the business world is a whole different language that you have to study as well. How did you? What are your views on mentorship and getting taught how to be a better entrepreneur?
You should always have someone to bounce ideas off of. The SCORE is a great resource nationwide for great mentors. I've been very, very lucky with my SCORE mentors. I had a phenomenal one, Tim Ryan, when I was in Virginia Beach. He has a great incubator over there. And then in Florida, I have a great one. And being able to connect with someone that's not even been there, done that necessarily, but giving you a different perspective and having the resources. And you can find mentors. Like, I call Anne Malou my mentor. I've never talked to the woman one-on-one except for replying to my Instagram comments a day in my life. She is my mentor because I have followed her since pre-selling Solid Core when I had my fitness studio, because I was obsessed with Solid Core, but they never franchised, so that was why I didn't open one. And I still follow her to today. I've listened to every podcast she's been on, everything she's written, every article about her. And she is my mentor without her even knowing that she's my mentor, which are the best types. And having people in your circle that are better than you, that are like-minded like you, excel you to be the next best version of yourself. I feel like a lot of people get complacent in their business when they're not scaling and not growing and not moving fast and not talking to someone else that can give them advice. Or even volley ideas off of, hey, I think I want to open up another studio. Should I? Are you prepared XYZ? Do you have the funding? And just like thinking about what are the next steps to propel you to do that? And that's why mentors are phenomenal for that. I love my mentors. They've been so helpful, but I also think Google's a great resource. I Google everything. And I will put a little bit of blame on my childhood for that one because I've always been independent. My parents were very hands off. And I always had to figure out on my own, always. I never had someone, my mom like raves about it. And I'm like, I don't love this. But she's like, well, when you were like 1 and a half, you would put your diapers in your backpack and you would wear your diaper back. Like you were that independent. I'm like, oh, I would never make my daughter's 2 and like, I don't make her do anything. I'm like, fixing the things in my childhood that I don't agree with the next generation, with my kids. And so I think because they were so hands off that I just like, that's another thing, like personally too, is it's tough for me to rely on other people to do things for me. So if I can Google it in 2 minutes, even though I should ask my daughter or my husband or my friends to do something, I'm just gonna Google it. 9 times out of 10, before I even talk to my mentor, I Google it and I understand different people's opinions. Reddit's a great resource for that, of hearing just like your community, worldwide community, tapping into certain topics. And then I talk to people. Like I do my own research first and then I'll ask my mentor. A great thing is we were trying to acquire another company and I did my research on, is this a great product fit? Is this going to fit in with Global Sprouts? Is this going to propel us to the next step? Consolidated all of my thoughts, and then I talked to my mentor about it so that I don't walk into a conversation blindsided or blindsiding anyone else, and I understand the next point. And I think that's very important too.
When you brought up SCORE, and then here in Temple, they have so many different resources. They have SBDC, SBCDL, SBDC, I think is what it's called, SCORE. Then they have programs for veterans. Then they have so many different resources to not only help you learn more about business, but to give you the right mentor that's, like you mentioned, that probably hasn't done what you've done, but they can give you a different perspective, different point of view, different thought process, different way of thinking. And when I start going to different programs, different mentors, and communicating with different people, I'm like, man, this is a lot of information, because you don't know the language. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know why you're doing it this particular way. And then when they are communicating with you, they meet you where you are at. With Global Sprouts, you're meeting people where they are at. What is the goal behind that?
The goal behind that, well, first off, there's free resources across the country. So anyone listening and tapping in, there's so many great resources if you just tap into those. I've utilized them in so many different cities too when I'm visiting other places. But tapping into where people are at in their current place is important in the fact of we just want to bring everyone together. So meeting everyone where they're at, what they're doing, where we're at as an entire country, I think is very important. Of there's no culture in public schools. So if your kids are going to public schools, you need to supplement that with providing them resources to learn about other cultures. Private schools and preschools are a little bit better. They are doing a little bit more of the learning aspect. So as an entire community, we have a lot of work to do. We need to get different cultures into the day-to-day lives of kids in public schools and letting them learn about places and people and cultures around the country. And I think it's just important that we're doing things to help the next generation. And no matter where you're at in your journey of, I haven't been out of the country, or I've been out of the country 46 times, I still have a lot to learn. There's no way that I've tapped into every culture out there, no matter how much research I've done. I follow influencers from every country I try to, because I think it's just the funnest thing ever to hear them talk and understand what they're doing over there, and making sure that we are being delivered to homes that do want to make a difference, I think is really like our bread and butter and how we're doing our great work that we're doing.
Wow. And I definitely see the great work that you're doing. One, because you're able to speak about it, and you're able to bring out memories and your inner child to explain why you're building the business of Global Sprout and how you're making a difference. So if you haven't noticed, you are doing a phenomenal job. You're moving fast because you've done the work, you've done the experience, and you not only tried and overcame the lessons, but you are still going through the process. So you're doing great. You're doing amazing. Thank you. Absolutely. So I have one segment. The last segment is called Best for Last. And in this segment, I ask four questions with a quick explanation, and then that'll be the segment.
Okay, let me grab my laptop charger.
Okay.
Sorry, it just went off, and I was like, I don't want it to die.
No worries.
Awesome.
What did I say? The best flash. So question number one, what are you grateful for?
I am grateful for my community and my family, and them supporting me through being an entrepreneur. That is a wild ride that you go on of so many different ideas, and everyone's supportive, and they allow me to stay up late at night and wake up early in the morning and still give me the time and space to have quality time with my family.
What do you regret?
I don't have any regrets. I say that with every ounce of my soul, that I look back on everything that's happened in my life and I'm like, I appreciate that happening, and I am who I am now because of that.
Okay. What is the biggest lesson that you learned while being in business?
This business or every business?
Every business.
That you are leading the company, and if an employee does something, or a fitness instructor, or someone contractor that's working for you, that you have to take responsibility because you are the leader and they are looking to you for guidance, and that makes you a better business owner.
Okay, you just made me think about something, but I'm gonna wait for that one.
Okay.
And then last question, what does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Oh, I love this question. Failure is knowledge means to me that every time you believe you fail, you're actually learning a next step to building you success.
Yes. Okay, that is great. That is great. I do want to share this random TV because you just made me think about it. I was at the I forgot the store that I was in. And the customer representative, he was new, and you can tell someone's new because they're fidgety, they like second guessing themselves, not as confident. And then when the manager came, or when the coworker came, it was like, "Sorry, he's new." And I'm thinking, like, as the customer, why do you have to say he's new? You can just come in and help. And he just literally made sense that you have to take responsibility for your employees, for your team. You don't necessarily have to throw him underneath the bus, but you can be like, "Hey, I'm coming to help him. Just make sure he has everything, like he's good with everything." So you just made me think about that as well. So you're very good at storytelling.
Thank you.
How can people learn more about Global Sprouts? How can they learn more about Whitney? How can they learn more about everything that you're doing and have going on?
Yeah, so you can find us at globalsprouts.com. On social medias, every social media minus Instagram is at Global Sprouts. Instagram is at Global Sprouts Box. And we look forward for you to, we love feedback. So any website feedback, social media feedback, any ideas, reach out. We're more than happy to volley ideas off of each other and start that conversation on how to bring a culture into your home.
Where can I send the feedback from? I mean, feedback to.
You can send feedback to hello@globalsprouts.com.
Okay, Whitney, and we appreciate it. Any closing remarks before we end this great conversation?
If you're thinking about starting a business or worried about failing, I really think that you should take a deep breath, take a step back, and go back to what drove you to do it in the first place.
Okay. That yes, that oh okay. You just made me think about recently, yesterday. In fact, I think it was yesterday. I literally understood the audience that I want to serve, which is entrepreneurs, based off the experiences, based off the lesson that they learn. And it made me, based off the research that I was doing, understand the importance of failure. Like everybody sees success today, but what about the lesson that you don't see? So yeah, you're very good at that.
I've done a lot of work, a lot of work.
Yes, I can tell. I can tell. Whitney, I appreciate it. I'm about to stop recording right now.
Awesome.